This is how Alan Bennett's new book begins.
The Ransoms had been burgled. Robbed, Mrs. Ransom said. Burgled, Mr. Ransom corrected. Premises were burgled. Persons were robbed. Mr. Ransom was a solicitor by profession and thought words mattered. Though burgled was the wrong word, too. Burglars select, they pick, they remove one item and ignore others. There's a limit to what burglars can take. They seldom take easy chairs, for example, and even more seldom, settees. These burglars did. They took everything. The Ransoms had been to the opera, to Così fan tutte, or Così, as Mrs. Ransom had learned to call it. Mozart played an important part in their marriage. They had no children, and but for Mozart would probably have split up years ago. Mr. Ransom always took a bath when he came home from work, and then he had his supper. After supper, he took another bath, this time in Mozart. He wallowed in Mozart. He luxuriated in him. He let the little Viennese soak away all the dirt and disgustingness he'd had to sit through in his office all day. On this particular evening, he'd been to the public baths, Covent Garden, where their seats were immediately behind the Home Secretary. He too was taking a bath and washing away the cares of his day, cares, if only in the form of a statistic, that were about to include the Ransoms.
Alan Bennett, obviously joining us from London. Mr. Bennett's new book is small and short, 161 pages, but it is not sweet. The Clothes They Stood Up In is a highly condensed meditation on what matters and doesn't in life when a comfortable couple discovers almost everything that had a place in their lives is missing. Alan Bennett is perhaps Britain's best-loved playwright and essayist. He's author of The Madness of King George, An Englishman Abroad, and the best-selling autobiography, Writing Home. Some of us will always know him, too, as one of the founders of the comedy review, Beyond the Fringe. Mr. Bennett, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Did you set out to write a book or tell a story?
It's a failed play, really. I wanted to write a play in which it really began on an empty stage, with a couple come back and find everything in, absolutely every stick of their possession had been removed, and there's just a bare stage. Mm-hmm. And they come on and the wife has hysterics. And I could write the first 20 minutes, and after that I broke down, and I'd had it on my desk for, well, years, really, and I then thought, well, I'll try and write it as a short story and see what happens. And so that's how it came about. I still haven't managed to write the play, though.
Well, it breaks down into scenes. It betrays the hand of a playwright, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right. And people keep saying, when am I going to do it? When am I going to adapt it? I don't think it would quite work in the way that I've written it as a short story, though some of the scenes would.
Inevitably, the reviewers who like the book a lot say that it is very English in its humor. And I don't know, you're one of the few people, I think, who has a right to say that you created it in the modern world. So what is English humor?
Understatement, I suppose, is one aspect of it. Class comes into it a lot. I mean, there's quite a lot of snobbishness, really, in this, and the way the characters talk to one another or think about one another, particularly Mr. Ransom, the husband, who is very straight-laced. I think it also shows me up a lot in the sense that I don't have a mobile phone. I'm not keyed into modern developments, and nor does he. If he did have a mobile phone, a lot of the things that happen in the book couldn't have happened or would have been much more easily resolved. Mm-hmm. But that's the way I live, and so I've made him live in the same way.
For example, when the home is burgled, I'll be careful using the word, Mr. Ransom has to go to a laundrette to make a phone call.
That's right, yes. Whereas nowadays they just have a mobile. But it didn't occur to me, actually, until I'd sent it in. It was first printed in the London Review of Books, and it was only there they pointed out that this couldn't possibly take place in the present. They put it 10 years in the past.
Mm-hmm. Mm. The Ransoms discover that when everything they'd carefully assembled was missing, it was more than just stuff was missing from their lives. Did they find a sense of purpose was attached to that?
Certainly, I think he did. I don't. Mrs. Ransom was liberated by it, really. Mm-hmm. I think maybe I have a kinder attitude towards women than I do towards men. I mean, all Mr. Ransom was concerned about was the theft of his precious hi-fi equipment, whereas she found that what she missed were all the routines she associated with the objects in the house. And but then, as she ceased to miss them, she then slightly becomes a different person. Mm-hmm. And eventually, when Mr. Ransom conveniently dies, she then begins a new life.
You just gave away the ending of the book.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's your own book, Mr. Bennett. I was trying to play by the rules.
Yeah.
Well, to try and backtrack just a little, you live in Camden Town, neighborhood of some note there, literary note certainly, and in fact rode your bicycle there to the BBC.
That's right.
We understand. I ask because I'm curious as to if you see any relationship between the story of the Ransoms that you've created now and the real-life person that you know, that you knew and wrote about, the lady in the van, as she's called.
The lady in the van was a woman called Mary Shepherd, and she's what in America would be called a bag lady. Mm-hmm. I moved into the street I live in Camden Town in 1968, and at that time she was living in a van in the street, and was able to do so because there weren't any parking restrictions and there weren't many parked cars at that time. Mm-hmm. And then as time went on, the council introduced parking restrictions, which meant she would have to move on. And I have a tiny garden with a little patch of drive. And I said to her, well, she could bring the van into the garden until she decided what she was going to do, thinking this would be 3 months at the most. Well, it turned out to be 15 years. And the lady in the van, which I wrote first as a prose account and then adapted for the stage, is the story of my life and Miss Shepherd's intertwined over those 15 years.
Yeah. Well, I ask, I guess the almost psychic relationship I saw was that although we might tell ourselves that we have too much attachment to things, people without things have an attachment to things. There was a part of the world that Mary Shepherd wanted to sculpt into her own, wasn't there?
Oh, yes. Although she lived very basically, I mean, in a van and with no what I would call possessions or worth bothering about, she was very much attached to what she had. And even some of the items that I had to clear out the van after she died in 1989. And in the process of clearing out the van, I found items there which echoed items in my parents' house. I mean, for instance, my mother would, as I suspect many women do, would use well-worn kitchen utensils, things she was familiar with and things she liked, and maybe have a set for show or a posher set which she was hung up in the kitchen. And Miss Shepherd was exactly the same, that amid the terrible squalor of the van, there was a set of absolutely pristine kitchen utensils that she'd bought. Mm-hmm. And it suddenly, her life seemed uncomfortably close to mine, really.
Yeah. Your fictional couple, the Ransoms, find that that what they miss is less the possession than the acquiring.
Yes, they like shopping, I mean, but that's fairly common nowadays. Yeah. Miss Shepherd used to like shopping as well, but only her shopping was more limited. She used to ask me to, if she didn't get them herself, she'd ask me to go out for some sherbet lemons, was something she needed a constant supply of, which are little sweets. Mm-hmm. Batteries was something else she liked to acquire, always have a reserve supply of, so that when she died, there would be about 300 batteries in the van and God knows how many sherbet lemons.
Yeah. What in your mind suggests something should be a drama as opposed to the subject of a personal reflection, an essay, or in this case a story?
I don't know. I start writing without knowing, and then somewhere along the way think, oh, this is a play or this is a story. I mean, with The Lady in the Van, of course, one turned into the other. It was possible to, rather economically, to use up the stuff that I'd written as prose narrative in various forms in the dramatic form.
Mm-hmm. May I ask, you are a famous diary keeper, and if you live a life that's centered so much around writing, what goes in the diary?
I think everybody's life is, if you get close enough to it, is interesting. You don't have to be involved in great affairs of state or affairs of the heart even, or great dramas. I think if you actually watch fairly closely, you'll find there's plenty to write about. It also, the thing about keeping a diary is that it slows down time, that you actually, at the end of the year, you look back through it and you think, well, nothing much has happened this year. And then you read it through and you find that quite a bit has happened and that your life hasn't been as featureless as you perhaps thought it was.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel, Mr. Bennett, about that old observation that's sometimes made about great British literature, that it sometimes occurs because the British as a tribe can be very restrained in their expressions towards each other on the outside, so literature is the beneficiary, because when all is said and done, they still feel it, and they have to express it somehow.
Well, I suppose it's true. I don't want to think too much about it, because I feel that if it becomes conscious, maybe it won't work. I think I, while being quite a private person, I'm quite self-revealing in what I write, and I'd like to go on like that. I'd like to have it both ways.
Mr. Bennett, have a safe pedal back home.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for speaking with us. Alan Bennett, his new book is The Clothes They Stood Up In.